You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that.
Religious liberty will be protected, and a law that requires free preventive care will not discriminate against women.
Today, the Ninth Circuit of Appeals said to our family and millions of Americans that we are equal under the law.
The dissenting opinion by Judge Smith said very clearly that there is a very rational and legitimate government reason for the protection of marriage between only a man and a woman.
For he took the uncleanness and captivity of all nations upon himself on the cross. He really and truly traded places with us all, that we be set free, the unclean made clean again.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers love Issues Etc.
Well, at first, it was no compromise. That was the word from the Obama administration through the Health and Human Services. They were not going to compromise on this. Everyone, through their health care plans, were going to have to find a way of paying for contraception, birth control. Then there was a little political backlash after the mandate was made and a time frame was given, 1 year to comply for religious organizations. Then there was a little compromise. And then we found out a couple days later, after looking at the compromise, that it was still no compromise. What in the world is going on? Roman Catholic voters are very important to anyone who wants to get elected or reelected president. So why is the Obama administration basically sticking its finger in the eye of Roman Catholic voters? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Thursday afternoon, the 16th of February. We'll be talking first with Colleen Carroll Campbell during this hour about President Obama's alleged compromise on the contraception mandate. After that, Dr. Cameron McKenzie will be our guest. We will talk with him about someone remembered by the church on this day, 16th century reformer Philip Melanchthon. Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, was on Capitol Hill this morning speaking before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee about the contraception mandate. We'll listen to his opening statements, and then we'll talk with Pastor Harrison about religious freedom and the Obama administration's contraception mandate. That's this hour of Issues Etc. Joining us to talk about the alleged compromise over the weekend on the contraception mandate, Colleen Carroll Campbell. She is host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a biweekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
It was reported over the weekend that the president kind of saw the error of his ways and was willing to compromise on the HHS mandate. Was it a compromise?
No, not in any meaningful sense. It was really just a trumped-up accounting trick. Basically, what President Obama proposed as his religious accommodation was shifting the cost of these objectionable services from the religious employers who object to them to the insurance companies that insure them. So the upshot of this is that Catholic institutions still have to provide their employees with insurance that covers medications and services that the Catholic Church says are gravely immoral. And we're talking here not simply about artificial contraception, but it's about sterilization procedures and the morning after pill, which is a drug that can induce early abortions by preventing embryos from implanting in the uterine lining. So they still have to provide insurance that covers these things. But President Obama says, well, now your insurance company is going to pick up the tab for that portion of your coverage, because he's not having the women pay for it and he's not having the religious employers pay for it, he says. But, of course, we know that simple economics tells us that that's not possible. I mean, someone has to pay for this. These services and pills aren't going to fall from the sky. And so basically this is going to bump up the premiums of these religious employers. The insurance companies are going to pass along this cost to someone, most likely these religious institutions, albeit perhaps in a stealthy way. And the other option is they're going to have to spread the cost among all policyholders, which means basically this will amount to a hidden tax on anyone who doesn't whether because of their age or their circumstances in life or their own religious or ethical objections. Anyone who doesn't use this contraceptive or sterilization or morning after pill benefit, he's going to be taxed and basically paying the tab for those who do. So this doesn't relieve the conscience objections. It creates a whole new economic problem here. And it's basically, as it's been called, a fig leaf. It's just something to give cover to those institutions that weren't particularly concerned about their Catholic identity. And for the vast majority, they're still troubled by this. This offers no real accommodation.
Can you help us understand why it is the Obama administration, and this isn't just President Obama, but I think Kathleen Sebelius has something to do with this, and she is the head of HHS. Why do they now, in retrospect, refuse to compromise on this?
Well, I think they must think this is a winning issue. I mean, we're in an election year. In some ways, it's very surprising that President Obama would pick a fight with Catholic bishops and Catholic voters in an election year, because Catholic voters are kind of a crucial swing block. The way they go is generally the way the country goes in terms of electing a president. I think they miscalculated, the White House, in assuming that only those Catholics who follow the Church's teaching against artificial contraception were going to object to this. In fact, there were Catholics all across the political spectrum and quite a few non-Catholics saying, you know, this isn't an issue about birth control. This is an issue about who decides which teachings a given church can follow. And this is an issue about government intrusion and violation of First Amendment rights. So in that sense, I think it backfired. That's why I think the Obama administration felt compelled to do any kind of attempt to compromise at all. But, you know, we only need to look at the first folks out of the gate to applaud this compromise, and that is the leaders of Planned Parenthood and NARAL Pro-Choice America, too. Vehemently pro-abortion groups that said this is a great compromise. So, I mean, this isn't meaningful in any sense. But I think this boils down to President Obama deciding that this is a good way to get the woman vote in the November election. I think he figures so many American women use contraception that they're not going to be concerned about religious liberty questions. They're just going to be excited to get some free pills. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, there is no such thing as a free lunch when it comes to insurance. They're probably just going to see their premiums rise for other reasons.
It has also activated many non-Catholics. Earlier today, the president of my own church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Pastor Matt Harrison, was testifying before a House committee on this very issue, speaking rather impassionedly in favor of in some way undoing this presidential mandate. Talk about the degree to which this has not just been seen as a perhaps tin-eared swipe at Roman Catholics, but at Christian liberty in general.
Yes, this is absolutely a coordinated defense that Christians are mounting across denominational boundaries, and even non-Christians who are stepping forward to say, you know, I may not have a specific problem with birth control, or maybe I do, but that's not the issue. The issue is I don't like someone else's religious liberty being trampled, because next time around it's going to be me. And we've seen that the Obama administration has a pattern here. This is not a one-time offense. This is not, as it's been portrayed by some Obama allies, as, you know, just, oh, he made a misstep, he just didn't understand that politics here. This is part of a coordinated attempt to undermine religious liberty. We've seen abroad the Obama administration using the term freedom of worship rather than freedom of religion, which is very worrisome if you think about it. The freedom to worship is much more narrow and limited than freedom of religion. And we've seen the administration going after defenders of traditional marriage, again, the most visible segment of which are observant Catholics and other Christians, and saying that they should be regarded in law as the equivalent of racists. This is what his Justice Department has been arguing in court. His National Labor Relations Board has issued rulings against several Catholic colleges saying they're not Catholic enough to get religious exemptions from the federal labor law, which, again, is the government intruding upon a church's decision about who qualifies as a member of that church. And we saw the Justice Department argue before the Supreme Court to gut the ministerial exception that would allow religious bodies to hire and fire their own employees without the government stepping in and interfering. And on that particular question, all 9 Supreme Court justices shot down the administration's arguments and said, you're violating the First Amendment there. And yet Obama continues. So this is a real question not simply of the rights of Catholics, but of the religious liberty and individual liberty rights of all Americans. And I think it's appropriate and good to see that the people from across the denominational spectrum are stepping forward to kind of present a united front on this issue.
Very quickly, we spoke recently with Terry Mattingly. He said he thinks this may be an effort on the part of the Obama administration to narrow the definition of religious liberty to worship rather than general religious liberty. What do you think of that? With about a minute before we close up, Colleen.
I think that's exactly right. And as I said, overseas, we've already seen the Obama administration using these terms. So there is precedent for that. And I think it's quite possible that that's how President Obama understands religion. He's made a few tips of the hat to the idea that religion can inform public policy and public life. But at the end of the day, the pattern of actual action, when you look at action rather than simply words, is one of an administration and a president that believes that religion is something that's fine as long as you do it in your house behind closed doors or in your church on Sunday for 1 hour a week. And the rest of the time, keep your religious beliefs out of the public square, out of your public life. And in this case, and we're talking now for religious employers of any persuasion, who own a private business and don't want to pay to insure their employees to use something like the morning after pill, you know, they have to check their conscience rights when they step out into the public square, even in the realm of private business. So that is the Obama administration's view of what religion is. It's a private affair. Keep it to yourself. And that's not the American view, historically speaking. And I certainly hope it's not the view of voters come November, and I hope they let the administration know what they think of that very narrow, constricted view of religious liberty.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book The New Faithful. She writes a biweekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and you can read those columns at our website under the Listen on Demand page, issuesetc.org. Colleen, thank you again.
Thank you for having me, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to talk about 16th century reformer Philip Melanchthon. It's a name that's not as well recognized in religious circles as it ought to be because, well, probably he's overshadowed, standing in terms of history in the shadow of the great reformer in the 16th century, Martin Luther. But there really wouldn't have been the same kind of Lutheran Reformation without the pen of Philip Melanchthon, without his mind at work and his theology at work. There is a work that Philip Melanchthon actually wrote that Luther said, second to Scripture, was the most valuable book on Christian doctrine ever written. We'll find out who Philip Melanchthon is from the 16th century with Dr. Cameron McKenzie of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, right after this. You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
How does Jesus' incarnation provide us with a response to religious relativism? Find out in an article that I've written for the latest issues, etc. journal. It's titled God in a Box, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Michael Schuerman's journey from moralistic therapeutic deism to the rock-solid theology of the Reformation. The online Issues, Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.